If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a new year, and that means we look at the Dogs of the Dow stock market investment strategy. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Game. We're talking Dogs of the Dow, so let's bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Check out their website, horizoninvestment.com, and then their number. Chuck will take your call. If you have any questions, call 800-711-7969. Again, that's 1-800-711-7969. Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me back, Andy.
Yeah, and we're talking Dogs of the Dow today. A pretty straightforward concept. Basically, at the beginning of the year, which is now, select the 10 stocks from the Dow 30 with the highest dividend yield per share. And you basically buy those, allocating the equal amount of money for each one of those 10 stocks. And we'll give you them here in just a bit. You hold them for 1 year. You do not make any changes. And then at the end of the year, you reassess and just repeat the process. Obviously, there will be some new dogs, some are out, and then you reallocate the new dogs into your portfolio. And that's basically the Dogs of the Dow. So, Chuck, how effective is this? And kind of explain why this would, you know, the kind of the concept and why this works.
Sure. The concept, Andy, basically is it forces you to buy stocks that are down, in effect, or stocks that are out of favor. And the metric that points to those stocks is dividend yield. In a sense, you know, the thinking is, you know, a stock's dividend yield is impacted by two things, the actual dividend and the price per share price of the stock. So in the case of high dividend yielding stocks, oftentimes these are stocks where the prices have been laggards or have fallen, thus boosting the dividend yield. So this is a way to force investors to kind of, in effect, buy low and sell high, because there's an automatic sell point that's built into the system too, which I find, you know, can be very useful. So in effect, it's a strategy that focuses on kind of buying low, hopefully, and selling high. It's a strategy that focuses on, you know, the value side of the market. And I think that's important that people understand that this is a value strategy. The stocks you're buying in most cases are stocks that would be deemed kind of value stocks. Again, partly because of their valuations, which are you know, presumably undervalued. And then finally, it's a way to play this whole idea of reversion to the mean that says, you know, things can kind of get out of whack in the short term where you have stocks running to the extremes, to the upside as well as to the downside. But over time, things tend to revert back to some golden mean, some equilibrium level. So if you're buying stocks that have been depressed in 1 year, hopefully, you know, you have the what I call the worst to first factor that kicks in where these stocks do come back. Now, you know, to address your initial question, how has this done? Well, you know, it depends on the particular year. And, you know, recent years, Andy, it has been underperforming. In 2024 was no exception. And a couple of reasons for that. Again, you know, we have been in an extended period where value has really been out of favor versus growth. And if you didn't own growth stocks and if you didn't own, you know, the hotsy-totsy technology stocks, many of which don't pay a dividend, then it was very tough to keep pace with the market. And the Dogs of the Dow basically didn't own those stocks, didn't own growth stocks for the most part, and thus really kind of lagged. And that's been kind of the argument over the last couple of years. The other factor that hurt 2024 was that at the time when you established the portfolio, at the beginning of 2024, Walgreens was still in the Dow. And Walgreens was one of the dogs of the Dow with the highest dividend yield going into 2024. Well, Walgreens really kind of hit the skids. It got thrown out of the Dow in 2024, and that really impinged on the performance of this strategy in 2024. And that can happen.
Wasn't AIG originally in the Dow? I'm just thinking of some. There's been some, and that's when it really is those years where you have that Walgreens Boots Alliance in the portfolio.
GM.
GM went bankrupt.
I mean, so, you know, again, that's why, you know, this is not a strategy that somebody should, you know, bet the farm on. You're betting on 10 stocks, and, you know, this is a non-diversified portfolio because it only has 10 stocks, so things can happen. But it is a way to take a portion of a portfolio and focus on value, focus on cash flow through dividend yield, and focus on you know, kind of reversion to the mean. It some years it works really great, other years maybe not so much. But you know, the one thing about the Dow stocks is it happens, but it's pretty rare that you have a Dow stock just tank, and that's why this strategy tends to work pretty well with this universe of stocks, because in the main, you're talking about blue chip stocks. I mean, if you look at the list for 2025, for example, we might as well hop to that.
Yeah,
I mean,
in fact, we can get right down to it. But first, let's take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Chuck after the break. Back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Check out the website, horizoninvestment.com. And of course, the number. Give Chuck a call if you have any questions. 1-800-711-7969. Okay, Chuck, we'll hit those at that list in just 1 second. But you do have years when maybe one of them is a stinker, but it is the Dow and it's blue chips. So, you know, not all 10 of your stocks are going to go out of business, because if 10 Dow stocks are going under, then we are beyond in a world of hurt. So it is, it does kind of minimize risk a little bit. And then the one other aspect of this, and then we'll get into the list, and we're going to talk about these when we go down the list, is you get paid pretty handsomely to hold a lot of these while you wait for a year, and a lot of them are undervalued and bounce back. But get to the list here, Chuck.
Yeah, you're right, Andy. You do get paid. That is the one saving grace in the years when the strategy is kind of a laggard. You are generating return via a pretty nice dividend yield. So the 10 stocks for 2025, and I'm going to give them to you in the order of the highest yielding to the lowest yielding of the 10, are the following stocks: Verizon, symbol VZ, Chevron, CVX, Amgen, AMGN, Johnson & Johnson, J&J, Merck, MRK, Coca-Cola, KO, IBM, IBM, Cisco, CSCO, McDonald's, MCD, and Procter & Gamble, PG. So there's 10 stocks again: are Verizon, Chevron, Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Coca-Cola, IBM, Cisco, McDonald's, and Procter & Gamble. And the dividend yields range from a high of Verizon going into this year of 6.7%, to Procter & Gamble's dividend yield of 2.4%. So the lowest yielding stock among the dogs is right around 2.5%, which is a significant premium to the broad market, by the way.
You know, looking at the list, you always seem to see Verizon and Chevron in that mix, because they're just known as really good dividend payers at large. I mean, especially Verizon. I mean, they throw off, like you said, almost a 7% yield. It's interesting with, and you mentioned this earlier, hasn't been that successful the last couple of years because you've had NVIDIA and the you know, Magnificent Seven and growth stocks on a run. And, you know, when that happens, the value just kind of sits there. And you can kind of pick up on that a little bit, you know, what we've seen in the past year.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't own those stocks, it was very difficult to really keep pace or even come close to keeping pace with the broad market. You know, and in fact, in the Dow, although NVIDIA is now a Dow stock, the dividend yield on NVIDIA is so low that it's very, very, very unlikely that that will ever get in the dogs of the Dow strategy. So, you know, in looking at that list again, you know, you've got basically two technology stocks in there. You have IBM and you have Cisco, but these are kind of old line, you know, older, you know, OG technology stocks. And not the types, I mean, they're solid companies, but they're not the types of stocks that are, you know, likely to go up 200, 300, 400, 500% like we've seen some of these other stocks. Then the rest of the stocks, you've got a pretty big smattering of healthcare stocks, such as Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, and Merck. Healthcare has been out of favor. And then you've got, you know, classic consumer product related companies, such as Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble. You could throw McDonald's in that mix as well. So, you know, you've got areas in the market that, you know, just don't have the tremendous growth that you see in other areas. And, you know, as you said, Andy, this has been a growth stock market for probably the last 5 years. So the dogs have been swimming upstream a little bit during that time.
Yeah. And what I made a little slight revision for the 2024 dogs of the Dow, and it actually produced the best results I've ever had from the dogs of the Dow. And what I did was I sold all the dogs and put that money in Bitcoin. I'm joking, yeah, well, obviously. I didn't participate, but that kind of speaks
your point
to
is, yeah. Your point's well taken. I mean, you know, Bitcoin, I mean, there were asset classes in 2024, you know, people weren't interested in value. They weren't interested very much in dividend yield. They were interested in growth. They were interested in speculative investments. They were interested in, you know, the Bitcoins and the cryptos. And, you know, I mean, again, I did real well. You know, gold did fine in 2024. So, I mean, you know, it people tend to chase momentum and they tend to chase performance, and that's just kind of human nature. And so you didn't have a lot of people chasing the performance of value stocks or high, you know, high dividend yielding stocks. Now, will that change in 2025? What will work, you know, to the advantage of the dogs is if we do get a bit of a sell-off, we do get, you know, kind of a risk off market. And that certainly would play to the advantage of the dogs of the Dow, because, as you know, many of those stocks are really in what you would consider to be kind of defensive industries, industries, you know, like healthcare, which is kind of a necessity, obviously, depending on what's going on in the economy. You've got consumer products companies that have a certain resiliency as well. So, and then you've got Verizon, where people are still going to, you know, presumably pay their phone bills. And then you've got Chevron, which, you know, is an energy stock, a classic kind of a defensive area as well.
By the way, one of my favorite spaces. I like energy, a little undervalued. Chevron right here kind of speaks to it. You know,
I mean, that's an interesting group, and it's a kind of a classic group for a turnaround that has been, you know, underperforming over the last 12 months. And Chevron there with a 4.5% yield. I mean, it's tough to look away from that stock. And again, you know, I think Andy, you know, Andy, you said this, and I'm saying it, you know, this is not, hey, let's take every penny I have and put this into this strategy. It's a way to diversify your portfolio across strategies. And I just want to make one point, because I think it's important as it relates to the dogs of the Dow strategy. You know, when most people think about portfolio diversification, what do they think of? Well, they think of diversification across asset class, where you own, you know, stocks and bonds and cash and, you know, ostrich farms and sports memorabilia, et cetera. Then there's a diversification within asset class. So within stocks, you own large stocks, small stocks, value stocks, et cetera. There's the diversification across time, which is really dollar cost averaging, where you're feeding money into the market on a regular basis over time. And then finally, and a lot of people kind of ignore this one, there's diversification across strategy. And, you know, there are times, and we've seen it the last 5 years, when a particular strategy really dominated the market, i.e. growth investing. But I can point to times, you know, back in the early 2000s or back in the 90s when, you know, value stocks were really the place to be. And then I can point to a time when, you know, international stocks were the place to be. So,
yeah,
you know,
that diversification is an excellent point in across strategies. So yes, there's diversification across strategies, diversification across asset classes. And that's why you're diversified, because some go up and some go down. And, you know, you're not, like you said, betting the farm. One thing I wanted to say, you know, I made that Bitcoin joke. And so, and you talk about diversification. So now, okay, we had that good year with Bitcoin. Why don't we diversify that Bitcoin profit into some other areas? And dogs of the Dow could be just one of them. Go ahead.
Exactly. And again, you're not, this isn't to suggest that you eliminate, if you're a big crypto guy, you don't, you know, I'm not suggesting you eliminate crypto from your portfolio, but, you know, rebalancing makes some sense, especially if, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you like to have 3-4% in crypto and now you're at 20% because of what it's done. You know, you might want to rebalance by taking some money off the table and looking around for maybe some areas that have underperformed and doing those sorts of tweaks to a portfolio. And, you know, that certainly would be a movement between non-correlated assets, between, you know, taking some money out of crypto and putting it into the dogs of the Dow strategy. I mean, those are really two ends of the barbell there, but I think that does make sense and it does improve diversification, and it's something that investors can do, and I think it improves their portfolio.
Another part of this strategy I kind of like, and I've never heard anybody or people even mention this bright spot. Now, us, we're degens, so we like to trade all the time. You know, a lot of us gains listeners, we're in and out of markets. But, you know, being a degen and trading a ton isn't really actually necessarily a good investment idea. I mean, you're a trader, where by doing this keeps you out of trading. This keeps out of you taking news items and then trading them in your portfolio, because you know, at the beginning of the year, you lock these in and no matter what, you do not touch them. And then you reassess the end of next year. So, I mean, that is one thing that, you know, I joke about it, and we, you know, we love to trade and get in on different things. But realistically, as investing, it's really not a good idea to trade in and out and off of news. I mean, a lot of people just don't get that right. And this strategy brings a level of discipline when it comes to that.
Yeah. And the key word there is discipline. I mean, it's in a strategy. You follow the strategy, you buy them, you hold them for 12 months, you rebalance at the end of that period. The other thing is, so yes, it forces you to be disciplined in your approach and to follow a strategy. The other thing is, it's tax friendly relative to trading, because you're going to own these investments for 12 months before you sell them, which means any gains are going to be taxed. If you're doing this in a taxable account, any gains are going to be taxed at more favorable long-term capital gains rates. And that's another benefit of the strategy in that 12-month holding period as well.
And you don't end up selling all of them at the end of the year. I mean, the dogs list, you'll have a couple changes, but it's not like you're going to be at the end of next year. It's not like Verizon won't be on that list, or some of these other ones will likely, you know, there'll probably be 7 or 8 of them you'll hold on to, and then, you know, you kick the ones out. So, you know, it's
from
the
looking here. Andy, like, it's basically the new dogs this year are Merck and McDonald's and Procter and Gamble. I think those are the new. So, so Amgen in 2024 was in it. So was Verizon. Those stocks are still in it. So, yeah, you may what you may want to do is even out your investment amounts in each to keep
that's an excellent
equal weighted
point.
In the new year.
That's an excellent point. I forgot to mention that. Yeah,
you're not going to be turning this portfolio over completely. That's for sure.
Yeah, and again, when you reassess a year from now, it's dividing the new dogs into the same amount for all 10 stocks. So, have you practiced this as part of a portfolio? I mean, we've talked about it. I know you're a Dow expert. Things are looking pretty good for the Dow right now because the Dow theory, which we talk about all the time, is still bullish. Just thoughts on this implementing this strategy to a portfolio. And again, it's part of diversification, as you mentioned.
Right. Right. I have no problem doing this. What I have done from time to time in the past, I wrote a book, Andy, several years ago that was called Winning with the Dow's Losers, which was my take on the dogs of the Dow strategy. But instead of the dogs of the Dow, I called it the underdogs of the Dow because I chose the 10 stocks that had the worst performance in the previous year.
So the same exact concept, picking 10 and the thing, but instead of the highest yielders, you did the stocks that performed the worst over the past year.
Correct. And then bought those and owned those, for the next 12 months and rebalance. Now, my work has shown that over a long period of time, I think that approach has outperformed the dogs of the Dow. But again, it's 10 stocks. Anything can happen. And, that strategy fell victim to Walgreens last year as well. Walgreens was one of the worst performers in 2023, which means you buy it for 2024 rebound, and it did not rebound. So, you run into some of the same, potential problems. What my strategy does, at least open the door to of buying, owning some other stocks that are within the Dow that, may not even pay a dividend or pay very scant dividends. And so it can bring in, it's a bit more inclusive to go across all the Dow stocks than something just based purely on the highest dividend yielders, because you're going to get a lot of repeats there versus, the other way. And again, conceptually it's similar in a sense. You're trying to buy stocks that are, that are out of favor, trying to buy them low. And then hopefully, they have reversion to the mean the following year, and they do, they go from worst to first. And, it has worked in some years, and other years, you catch hold of a big stinker and it hasn't worked, but it's another way to kind of force a contrarian approach into an investment portfolio. And, I think that over time that should have some merit.
All right. So I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and put out a challenge for, the Gains listeners. So you could even do this with a small amount in a Robinhood account. If you wanted to just see how this plays out, I mean, you could go as little as, especially with Robinhood nowadays and some of these other platforms. If you want to test this out, take $1,000, okay, and divide it by 10 and put $100 in the stocks that Chuck just mentioned: Verizon, Chevron, Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Coca-Cola, IBM, Cisco, McDonald's, and Procter & Gamble. And take $100 at the beginning of the year here and deploy it in each one of those and then see what happens. Thoughts on that, Chuck?
Yeah, no, that's fine. And the beauty of that is you can do that now on some of these online platforms that allow you to buy full and fractional shares of stock.
Right, so it's $100 worth, and like with Robinhood, as you mentioned, you just buy $100 worth of stock and it'll give you the fraction. So you could just take $1,000 and just deploy it and see how this works. Any tweaks that you would make, because that's the other thing. Just be disciplined because, I mentioned I'm a degen all the time. I'd be so tempted to be like, well, I want to throw Verizon out because I think they have a deteriorating yield over the long term. I don't like Procter & Gamble right now. But yeah, you got to just, if you're going to do this, do it. And then don't touch it until you listen to the Gains podcast at the end of the year. And we'll do this in a year and we can reset the whole thing. But, that's it. You deploy it now and just hold on all year, collect those dividends, and then, in 2026. You just reassess it in January. Final thoughts on today's Gaines episode, Chuck?
No, again, it's a strategy that helps diversify your portfolio across strategies. You're going to own, you know, for the most part, you're going to own blue chip stocks. You're going to get cash flow from the strategy. And if we have a reversion in the market where value and yield are back in favor, you know, this approach should do fine for you. So, and as you mentioned, Andy, it's very easy now to implement this, you know, with the online platforms that allow you to buy both full and fractional shares. So, yeah, you can take $1,000 and throw $100 across each of them and have some fun and see how they go.
Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. And check out the website, horizoninvestment.com. Again, that's horizoninvestment.com. And if you have any questions or you want to go a little more than $1,000 and really up your game and have Chuck make it happen for you, call 1-800-711-7969. Again, that's 1-800-711-7969. And I can, you know, personally speak for Chuck Carlson. I've literally had him on the WBBM Noon Business Hour for 25 years, or nearly 25 years. He's been one of our go-to guys since the very beginning. So I trust him, and the show has for years. So big thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap up today's Gaines podcast. But hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and get those notifications so you know when a new Gaines episode drops. We drop Gaines episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.